everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. On today's episode, I have Marissa DiPietro with me. And this is actually an episode I recorded back when we were calling the show Fitfluential Radio. So this is slightly dated, but certainly the content is not dated in any way. And I'm a little embarrassed because I thought the show was live, but we've had to do some behind the scenes auditing of our content. And, you know, we discovered several episodes that hadn't been made live yet. And so that's the goal, getting them live. But you'll definitely hear at the beginning of this episode, you know, that we referenced Fitfluential Radio. So this was recorded previously. But this topic is something that is going to be so helpful to so many of you ladies, because essentially what we're talking about here is Marissa and how she was able to conquer just what I call, this is my phrase, the psycho diet mentality. And for years, you know, she's a personal trainer down in Tampa. She works with her brother, I believe. They've got like a really killer kickboxing and just MMA style training, functional training gym in the Tampa, St. Pete area. You'll have to look it up. I will link up to it in the show notes. But Marissa went through years of, you know, obsessing over what she ate, worrying about carbs, worrying about calories and macros and everything. And it wasn't doing her any good. And it was finally when she made peace with food and began just calming down and not obsessing and worrying about everything. Guess what? She started to see progress. And it is inspiring to learn from her because she's so young. You know, there's people like me who it took me years of psycho diet mentality and up and down yo-yo dieting and messing up my hormones to learn that. And we're starting to hear a lot more of the younger generation figuring this stuff out. So it's really not something that's isolated to, you know, being older and being around for a while. There, it really just can be, unfortunately, something that can be very common. You develop a healthy obsession with fitness, health, and wellness. It can easily turn into an unhealthy obsession with, you know, restricting calories or obsessing about food being good or bad. And this is the message that I want to spread, what we talk about in this show, which is, you know, let's get back to the basics and keep it simple. Let's keep life reasonable. Fitness is supposed to be something that benefits our life and doesn't make it. We shouldn't be pursuing fitness so that we're living a life of denial and never having fun and never eating or drinking, or we spend all of our time at the gym. That's not what it's supposed to be like, but it can be very easy to get into that gray area where you don't even realize that you're avoiding social situations because you're worried about eating too much, or you're spending all of your time at the gym and you never get out and have a social life. These are things that can happen and, you know, you don't even realize you're there. So these are the types of topics that we're going to be discussing a lot. And I love being able to share with you real individuals who have gotten past it and how they did. And the fact that you can learn from them, look them up online and go, wow, you know what? She really is walking the talk. So sit back and enjoy. This is actually close to about a 40-45 minute episode. Rather than split it in two, I'm leaving it as one because I think it just makes sense in this case. So sit back, enjoy this episode, this interview with Marissa DiPietro.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I definitely feel like I should have a drum roll or maybe some Rocky theme music playing right now because we have one of our own Fitfluential team members, someone who's been with us since almost the beginning of Fitfluential time. Marissa DiPietro is with us today, and you guys are going to love. So many of you follow her already on social media. She is a powerhouse. She's a badass. She's awesome. But you're going to love this interview and what we talk about. But Marissa, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you said yes.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
And yes, I'm just going to say again, when I come to Tampa, I really want to work out with you at your gym, but I'm kind of scared too, in a good way, because whenever I see your videos on Instagram, I'm like, she's hardcore. She's awesome. Anyway, whenever I have people on the show for the first time, I always think it's really cool to hear their fitness story. And, you know, you're a personal trainer. You work in a gym. I've already stated you're a total badass, hardcore, awesome person. But tell people, when was it for you that you became interested in fitness and leading a fitness lifestyle? And when was that for you and why?
Well, first of all, I just have to thank you for the high praise. I mean, I definitely do it for the gram sometimes, so I can't even like take all of the compliments. But I would love to get into my fitness story a little bit. So growing up, I was always the really unathletic kid. Like my brother...
Really?
Yes, seriously. My brother was a star baseball player. He was a star football player. He played football in college. Just really, really athletic. And I was basically the nerd of the family. I was just like in my room reading. I was really involved in like musical theater and everything like that. And so I really didn't pursue sports at all. I would play tennis, volleyball. I would dabble in a couple different things, but I really didn't get into it. I really did not get into sports or fitness or anything. I went to college and pretty much immediately gained about 13 pounds right off the bat, like within the first semester of college. And I was like, whoa, I'm fat. Like basically.
I'm sorry.
And so then when I was in college, I had no idea what I was doing. And so I just started running 1 mile a day. I would just go out and I couldn't even make it half a mile, not even a quarter mile without taking a break. I was just really, really out of shape, even for being so young. Obviously, I was just probably my sophomore year of college and I couldn't do any type of physical exertion. I was just still carrying over my chubby nerd status like all through the year. And so throughout college, I started running because I really didn't know what else to do. And being a very poor college student, that's pretty much the only thing I could do.
So run from one bar to the next, right?
Run from In-N-Out Burger to Taco Bell. And then back again.
No shame involved in that. I fully embrace that.
In-N-Out, though. We'll cover that at a later date, maybe. But In-N-Out Burger.
They should be sponsoring all of our podcasts. I'm just putting that
out. I would very much love that. But yeah, after I graduated from college, I was like, you know what? I should start working out for real. And so I like found a bunch of just online fitness programs. I had zero direction whatsoever. I just went online. I started looking on Pinterest. I looked on a bunch of really popular fitness blogs and things like that. And I just started doing the workouts. I would watch a bunch of like follow along workout videos. I actually got started with Daily Burn. They had this like 21-day super high intensity program. And of course, me, completely out of shape, picked like the hardest program to start with because I was like, let's see results. I got this. Just like really amped up right off the bat. And then doing it, I was like, holy crap, this is really hard. But after doing that, I kind of realized how cool it was, like how awesome it felt to feel strong and to feel like I was really progressing. And so that kind of kicked me off. And then I got into some group fitness classes. I did CrossFit for a little bit. And then my brother, the very athletic man that he is, he actually started working at a kickboxing studio. And so he had been working there and I was like, oh man, I want to be like my big bro. And so I started taking some kickboxing classes and then I realized, oh man, this is it. Like I completely fell in love with it. It just grabbed me like no other workout ever had. And so I just dove head first. I started taking a bunch of classes and then my brother was opening up a kickboxing gym very close to me. And so he asked me, he was like, hey, do you think you'd be interested in working as a kickboxing instructor, as a trainer for us? And I said, say no more, fam. Sign me up, like 100% yes. So that's how I got into that. I started training to be a kickboxing instructor. I was working my way up through the system that they created and did that part-time for about 2 years, just teaching some classes throughout the week. And then probably 2 years ago, I really just decided to do more. And so I became a certified personal trainer. I'm a certified MMA conditioning specialist. And I currently teach about 15 classes a week. And I now have like my own roster of personal training clients as well. So it's just been a very slow build, but it's so much fun. And I never realized until just I got into kickboxing that fitness can be so much fun. Like I love it. I look forward to it every single day getting in my workouts. And so that's probably a lot longer of a story than you expected, but you and I tend to ramble a little bit.
I was just going to say, Marissa, more than anybody, you know, if you know me, you know, like I don't write short emails. I don't leave short voicemails. My biggest challenge in life is being brief. Yes. So you don't have to explain, but that was really good. And you could tell, you know, you could just hear the excitement in your voice. And it's so funny because you talked about, you know, getting out of college and then you started saying, I wanted to get serious about working out and you looked on Pinterest and this. And I think about myself getting out of college. And I think it really wasn't until I was in the corporate world for a couple of years. And that's when I didn't gain weight in college as much. I don't know why. Cause I certainly wasn't working out at all. And I was drinking like a fish and eating just carbs. Like there was no other food group other than carbs and junk food. But, it was really more when I entered corporate America and I started working in the hotel business and they just had unlimited food. And I never saw the light of day. I was always at the office and I gained weight. And that's when I started working out. But it's funny to compare my timeline because I'm so much older than you that when I was getting out of at that time and getting into fitness, it was Tybo. And I saw Tybo on an infomercial. So this is to tie though into kickboxing because I've been obsessed with kickboxing since Billy Blank's Tybo came out on an infomercial. And what I first bought was VHS tapes. So they were VCR tapes. That's how old school I was. I mean, that's how old I am actually. But I really love, this is just a total side note. I love that because you're in fantastic shape and you work at a gym that's kickboxing and MMA focused. And I would love for you to talk about, because we're going to get into obsessing and stressing about food and diet and how that's the best thing you can do is get past that and chill out, and how, you know, you're going to share that story of what had happened with you. But I'm personally interested. I feel like, you know, cardio has gotten a very bad rap the past several years. And especially when CrossFit became more and more popular, I think you'd agree, like more people just, they'd look at you like, oh, you do kickboxing. Whether it was, and I heard this, people would say this to me about kickboxing, because they'd say, oh, it's not HIIT training and it's low stake cardio and you should never do it. And there were a lot of things that, from a workout perspective, it's almost like there was shaming going on. Like, the only thing you can do is CrossFit or lifting heavy. And we do talk a lot about, you know, there's been a lot of guests on the show, and there's a lot of information online that supports high intensity interval training as a part of a program. But you work with clients and regularly train them in kickboxing and MMA. So can you like shed some light on that? I mean, obviously you can get into great shape and it's not detrimental. And do you call that kind of training quote unquote cardio, or is it because of the way you guys do it that there's so much more strength involved? I've seen some of your workouts. There's squats, there's punching, there's all of that stuff. So is that where it's also building in so much strength that it's not strictly like cardio? Do you know where I'm going with this question?
Yes. Okay. I definitely understand. And we have so many people who come in and are hesitant to try it, or they're like, concerned about doing too much cardio if they do come into kickboxing. And it's simply because cardio has gotten a bad rap. And unfortunately, people don't have all of the information a lot of times when they do come in. And when people say they hate cardio, I don't get it. I love cardio. It's cardio. I love it. I love that high intensity, sweat pouring, heart is racing. I love it. I love the feeling. And I find that with kickboxing, when people do come in, they're like, oh, well, I want to lift weights. I want to build muscle. I shouldn't do cardio. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that that's true. I think that cardio is a very important component of any workout regimen. You can lift weights and do 3 sets of 10 all day and be this phenomenal bodybuilder. However, I am not trying to be that. I think that you have to train according to your goals. And if you were to put me in a race with a bodybuilder, I'd win. I know that, like 100% for sure. Simply because the way that I train at that high intensity level, because I personally want to provide myself with the best overall workout. So do I do bodybuilding style workouts sometimes? Yes. Do I do kickboxing all the time? Yes. Do I do different types of, like, even CrossFit style workouts? Yes. Because the way that I structure my workout schedule is to provide myself with a complete package. I don't want to just be good at one thing. I want to be an overall athlete. And so to me, that means strength training and conditioning. So the workouts that I do involve both. And with kickboxing, that type of cardio is a high intensity interval training cardio, at least the way that I am training in it. There's explosive movements. You're working on speed. You're working on quickness, explosive power. And I find that a lot of the techniques used in kickboxing are so extremely beneficial to other types of training. For example, CrossFit. A lot of people who do CrossFit only do CrossFit, and they kind of look down on other workouts. That's just like a general stigma.
Kind of.
I'm being very politically correct right now. So we have people come in, they're like, hey, I've been doing CrossFit for 2 years, and I don't think that kickboxing is going to challenge me or provide me with like the workout that I need. And I'm like, okay, you just wait 1 second.
You're like, step into my room.
Just because I know it's a different type of training, and it's a form of cardio that utilizes your body weight in such an explosive, powerful way that most people are not used to doing. And with kickboxing, your intervals are longer than a general, like even Tabata workout or something like that. Like a kickboxing round runs about 3 to 5 minutes, depending on what you're doing. And so 3 to 5 minutes of nonstop work is hard. Like people don't realize how hard that is. And the way that it can translate into benefiting other workouts with this type of cardio, because kickboxing, like I mentioned, it's so incredibly explosive, it's powerful, it's quick, and it's sharp. And then when I have CrossFitters come in and they're like, oh, how is this going to help me? Think about the movements that you're doing in CrossFit, snatches, cleans, things like that. You have to be explosive. You have to know how to use momentum through your body. And kickboxing teaches you that on such a fundamental body weight level. You don't need any weight whatsoever, but you have to learn how to use your hips and use your core to throw one single punch. Your entire body is behind every single movement. And so learning how to just control that and control the speed and power that you can create just from twisting your hip and pivoting your body. Like you see these MMA fighters and their punch can, like the pressure that they can exert in one punch is enough to like, obviously break a bone, break a wall. You know, it's crazy. It's so incredibly strong and powerful. And so when I'm doing this type of cardio, I'm not just going through the motions and wasting muscle and like hopping on an elliptical or something that's not going to really benefit my type of training. But with kickboxing, I know that it's going to benefit any other form of training that I do, because this type of cardio is a whole different animal from anything else that we've got going on.
And, you know, a good point to make about, you know, I mean, I feel like I should use air quotes over here, cardio is, you know, there's several permeating mindsets out there. There's one that, you know, a lot of us, we don't do the cardio that we did in years past. And for us, I think most of us that are, you know, like for me, I've incorporated a lot of HIIT training and I'm kind of taking things up a notch. I've just changed my program recently. I swear, the more you talk about this, I can't wait to come train with you in this gym. I'm just, because I'm like, yes, I can incorporate this. Diversity is key. But most of us, when we're talking about like, hey, we don't do the cardio that we used to do, it's the stereotypical, like Marissa said, getting on a treadmill, the mindset that in the 80s, it was like, eat a low-fat diet and go get on the treadmill and just, you know, people, when you see people at the gym, to me, that are on a treadmill or an elliptical and they're staring at the screen and they're on their phones and they're talking and they're barely breaking a sweat. Like that's like, and they'll be there for an hour and they think, oh, well, the machine told me I burned 500 calories. Realistically, number one, you probably didn't burn 500 calories. Number two, you're not really pushing yourself to any degree, your body's going to adapt. That's typically what we're referring to when we say that people are avoiding the cardio of the past. So in general, cardio can be, it's definitely beneficial. Diversity is key. We're also not suggesting that you do a ton of it. I mean, a big part of what we're talking to Marissa about today is she actually was in Austin just for like a vacation recently. And we went out to one of my favorite places, Jack Allen's Kitchen. Okay. We were having lunch and we were talking and I'm like, girl, you're looking fly as hell. And she's like, I just stopped worrying about food so much. And we got into this whole conversation about how so many people getting into fitness, women in particular, think they need to do endless amounts of cardio and diet, and restrict and make their food choices perfect. And that's actually a trip to nowhere. That's actually a trip to, you know, retention of fat, potentially gaining of fat. And we just started on this big conversation. I really had no idea that Marissa had this past of getting into kind of, these are my words, Marissa, psycho eating, obsessive eating maybe. And she'd gotten past it. So that said, I kind of set the stage for you, Marissa. You know, we want to talk about this because too many people are going down the wrong path. They think that getting fit should be punishment. It's all about denial. It's all about long, you know, just being on that boring treadmill, not doing something fun like this. What was your story with kind of getting into crazy obsession about your diet and what happened to snap you out of it?
Right. And I think that the term psycho eating is actually entirely accurate when it's describing what I was doing. Excuse me. So when I first started working out, obviously you start working out and you know that you have to eat better. So I started eating 1200 calories a day because that's the magic number, right?
It is
so much. So that's what I was eating. And, I guess I know that everyone has a different type of personality, but for me, when it came to calorie counting, I just really got crazy. I started psycho eating and, I just simply refused to go over 1200 calories. And again, at this point I was so uneducated. I was just trying to lose weight. I didn't have an actual goal. I didn't have any knowledge about how to eat healthy. All I knew was that I needed to count calories and I needed to not eat fat and not eat carbs, right? That's what everyone knows. And I mean, for anyone who's listening to this and they're coming from that point where I was, where I just didn't have the knowledge, then I really just encourage you, educate yourself. On fifthlentil.com, we've got a ton of articles and nutrition blogs and recipes and things like that that are really, really helpful. So if you're listening and you're just getting started and you're not quite sure what to do, I cannot give you a better piece of advice than to just research.
Mm-hmm.
Find a good source where you can get the knowledge you need that's unbiased and go with that. Because when I started, I was a lost little puppy trying to figure things out. And I just kind of latched on to the outdated information that I had just heard somewhere in the past. And so that's what I did. I was completely obsessed with my Fitness Pal. I was logging every little thing that I eat. Like, even for example, I would go to church and take communion and I would log that in my calorie.
Oh my God.
Piece of matzah and like one fluid ounce of grape juice. I would log that. Just to give you an example of the mindset I was in, I was just obsessed with it. And then after I had done that for a while, I kind of drove myself crazy. I was extremely thin at that point. So I'm one of those women, I really don't care if you know how much I weigh. So I'm just going to tell everybody right now. So for example, right now I weigh about 160 and I'm strong. I'm fairly lean. I'm
fierce looking.
I'm totally okay with what I weigh. I know that it's a lot compared to some people and I'm fine with that. But when I was counting calories and I was first starting out, I weighed 124 and I was just completely shapeless.
You're taller than me, aren't you?
I'm 5'7".
Yeah. I mean, like I've learned to, what it was a big step for me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Marissa, but it's a big step for me to admit publicly and start sharing. I remember on my YouTube channel, like, cause I had this obsession with thinking I had to weigh 113 pounds. I'm 5'5". And I don't know where I don't even remember where I got that figure, probably out of Us magazine that said some, you know, anorexic celebrity was 113. And I'm like, that's 113. And I remember before I got married, I dieted very inappropriately and I got down to like 128. And most people at that point said, I remember at my wedding, they're like, you're too skinny. You don't look good. And since then I've been 138. I think right now I don't really weigh myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm about 155. So if you're even taller than me and you were 124, do you have any pictures of yourself at that time?
I actually do. And I found one not that long ago. Facebook memories always reminded you of your past.
Exactly.
The photo popped up and I saw it and my jaw just dropped because it was of me and my dad. It was on a Father's Day and we were down by the beach. I had taken him out. I had my hand on my hip and my arm was just a twig, like a completely shapeless twig. And like right now I'm very pleased with my arms. Like I love having muscles. I love having like definition and like seeing my arm how it was back then, I like would not even recognize myself if I were to put the two pictures next to each other, just because like the way that my body is, I put on muscle very easily. I can attribute that to my Italian workhorse genetics. But I was always bigger, like just a sturdy, like thicker person. And that was not the style to be. Like, we've as a society gone through so many different ideal body types, and being like the bigger, more muscular girl was not always attractive. And just the way that I was built, that was my natural build. It's just like a little bit stockier, a little bit more muscular. And I was always self-conscious about that because I had big legs and big hips. And when all my other friends were still fitting into the junior section, I was not. And so I was just so self-conscious about that. And I kind of carried that with me. And that's really what drove me to get to that lowest point in my weight, is because I was like, look, I'm finally skinny like everybody else, you know? Yeah. And I put a lot of pressure on myself as far as that went to achieve that ideal, quote unquote, physique of being just like a thin Pinterest bikini model looking girl. And that's not how my body should look. I've realized that now, that everyone's body is just built so incredibly different and we're so unique. And I think that's really something to celebrate, and being able to embrace what you look like at your best point, whether you're in great shape, whether you're starting out and you're just really coming to appreciate what you look like. I think that that's so incredibly important, because we can't strive to be something that we're not. Like, I'm just not going to be the same body type as Kendall Jenner, like, obviously this is not going to happen. But after reaching that lowest point in my weight, and then I was like, I made it here, now what? And then I realized how miserable I had been for 4 to 6 months of just logging 1200 calories, no more than that, and being hungry all the time and surviving on like Diet Cokes because they were zero calories. Yeah, it was just like, I give up right now. And so I just kind of started eating whatever I wanted. I definitely put on some weight, but it was much needed at that point. And then I kind of just got to a point where I was like, evening out a little bit. And this was not like an immediate, wow, I have come to the full knowledge of what my body needs immediately. Like, that doesn't happen. It takes time. It's a process to go from being so incredibly restrictive and counting every single calorie and being an insane person about what, like pulling up the menus and the nutrition facts for a restaurant that I was on my way to because my friends decided they wanted to go there instead of go to Chipotle, where I already had my calories planned out. So then I would whole ride there, have to like find something new to eat. And my friends would be like, you always have that app open. What is that? And I didn't want to be like, oh, it's my fitness pal, so I can count the calories I'm about to eat. So I would just be like, oh, it's just like a food app. Cause I was like secretly embarrassed by my behavior, but I also just wasn't strong enough to change it until I got to that last point. And so, I mean, it definitely took me about another year after that to finally be like, okay, chill. Like, eating healthy does not have to be the hardest thing you've ever done. Eating healthy does not have to consume your life. It doesn't have to consume your thoughts. And that's really what it had been doing. Like, I didn't think about anything else. I would plan out my meals. I would plan out my calories. And then if anything changed, I would spend
like an hour or more just planning out how to fix it. And it was just really unpleasant. Like, I wasn't fun to be around. And so then throughout about a year of going back and forth, I would like get that urge to count my calories. And so I would put in a couple of days in my Fitness Pal, and then I would totally binge and go way off track. And then I'd be like, well, whatever, this is me. And then I would feel really guilty. And then I would track calories again. And so after a couple cycles of that, again, I did more research on the binge restrict cycle. And I realized how much stress I was putting on my body and how terrible I was treating myself. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, you know what? This is it. This is the end of that. I am done. And so I deleted my Fitness Pal off my phone. I just decided to start eating what I wanted and stopping when I was full and just living life like a normal person should. And so I would go for breakfast, and if I wanted to have an almond croissant with a latte, I would have it.
I'm just kidding.
Yes. Like, if I wanted to have a veggie omelet, then I'd have that. So I definitely ate healthy things, and I definitely ate unhealthy things. And then after a while, people started coming up to me and they were like, well, Marissa, are you cutting? Like, you've definitely leaned out. You've lost a lot of weight. And I was like, have I? Like, I wasn't even paying attention to the scale at all. I wasn't tracking my food at all. In my head, I was like, wow, I'm so unhealthy. Like, I'm eating so bad, because I had trained my mind over the course of 2 years to think that what I was doing was completely unacceptable and it was going to make me fat. But then when I actually did it, I realized how much stress I could let go. I was just holding on so much to pressure that I was putting on myself, pressure that I felt like I was getting from other people, when really it was just like a figment of my own mind, which took me some time to realize as well. And especially being in the fitness industry, becoming a trainer, I felt like I was subpar in my appearance because I was comparing myself to these people on social media. And I was like, these girls are all shredded and I don't want to be the chunky trainer, you know? So I just allowed all these things to get into my head. But then when I released all of that, I kind of like wrote all my thoughts down in a journal. I deleted the apps off my phone. I took the batteries out of my scale even. And then I just kind of let it ride. And that is when things changed in my body. I put on more muscle and I shed more fat. And I wish that I could say that this was the formula that I used, but I found out that not having a formula was the best thing I could do for myself. So, awesome. Yeah. And then I just noticed like huge changes in my clothes. My pants were all looser. My stomach was getting more flat. My body was just firming up in all areas. And I firmly believe that all the stress that I was carrying from counting the calories and from being so obsessed with what I was eating was preventing me from seeing any progress. And then when I was able to let go of that, that's when things really started to change and people started to come up to me and tell me that I was looking really good. And then I was like, you know what, maybe I should weigh myself. And so I stepped on the scale and I was down about 10 pounds. Just from chilling out a little bit. So it was really just such a relief. And when I did start to hear that feedback and I did start to see the changes in myself, I just felt like even more of a weight lifted off my shoulders to know that I didn't have to go back to that life of being crazy with my calories and being so incredibly restrictive. I didn't have to do that in order to see results. And that's really what I always thought. It was just something I had to do. And So it was just so freeing and such a relief to come to that point where I realized that I could live my life. I could have a slice of pizza and it wasn't going to kill me. And if I ate more than 1200 calories that day, it was okay. So it really was a great experience for me because now I am able to speak to a lot of women on that who do suffer from so much guilt when it's connected to what they're eating, because I've been there. I think every woman's been there at some point in her life. And
absolutely. You can tell for everybody listening, I'm sure as you're hearing her story, you know why when we were having lunch and she was telling me this as I was eating most of the pimento cheese and enjoying it. That they have there at Jack Allen's. Oh my God. But this is why I wanted her on the show, because everything you're saying, Marissa, I firmly believe in, and I'm going to have a lot of folks on the show that are either like Marissa who have had their own, you know, kind of, when I say transformation, I mean mindset transformation, this aha moment of like, this is stupid. And then you change and you relax and then your body relaxes. But I'm also going to have, you know, experts who have the data to back this up, because ultimately for me, I'm certain that these conversations and there's many people sharing things like your experience online, I wasn't exposed to that. And for me, when I've been working with my doctor here in Austin, Dr. Sebring, who's also been on the show, he's going to have his own show every month here starting very soon. You know, whenever he'd get my blood work back, he's like, your cortisol is just crazy. And it's really been an issue. I have adrenal fatigue and the cortisol thing kept coming up and everything kept, I was either hearing from him or research or other guests on the show, how stress is tied to cortisol, which can be, ladies and gentlemen, tied to fat that you cannot lose from your body. And I started to really like think, I used to say, well, we're always going to be stressed. Come on. Like I have this business and blah, blah, blah. And I really started to think like, wait a minute, I'm not stressed right now. Or I thought I wasn't stressed. And, you know, like things are going well. I'm not stressed. I don't understand. Well, I think this is why we might not think if we're obsessing about our food choices and obsessing about MyFitnessPal, and this is not to throw them under the bus, but you can get obsessive, right? And if you're obsessing about, oh my God, I ate a carb, or oh my God, I had a, you know, a second glass of red wine on Friday. That was, you know, way off my macros. It's crazy. That's stress. What you're doing, and I kind of wrote this as you were talking. I take notes, Marissa. I just said, mind hell. Like, I feel like we're putting our mind in this state when we become so obsessive. And you can look at this from a work perspective. If you are obsessing about, you know, asking your boss for a raise, or you want to quit and you're just anticipating what the fallout's going to be, or, you know, you're stressing about your relationship, any of that kind of internal dialogue where you're just full of angst and anxiety and obsessive thoughts, that is stress. And that kind of activity is having an impact on your body, and it will. So there, this isn't just a conceptual conversation where we're saying, hey, give yourself a break and things will change. There was something that was happening with Marissa when she started to relax and she was decreasing the stress. And I know that, like, for example, well, I'll ask Dr. Sebring, we'll do a show with him on this to explain how it affects cortisol. So for everybody listening, this isn't just conceptual, but I have talked to more and more people who have said, when I stopped freaking out and when I started chilling, it's like my body went, it had a sigh of relief. And it's, you know, Marissa, I'm not hearing you say that you're now going out every day and having pizza and donuts. I mean, it's like, it's being reasonable. Do you feel like your approach now that you live is just more reasonable?
Oh, definitely. I will, like I said, if I want a croissant and a latte for breakfast, I'll get it. And then for lunch, I will crave something like a turkey burger and a salad. You know, it's just, I've found that my body naturally wants to balance itself out, and listening to that and following that has just really been beneficial. And if I do have pizza on a Friday night, I'm not going to sweat it. And then on Saturday morning, I'm going to work out. I'm going to have maybe a smoothie for breakfast, something a little bit healthier. And so it's just really the overall choices that are going to make the biggest difference.
Do you think too, I mean, I think when we had the Fit Bottom Girls on the show, we brought up this part of the conversation, which is the more that we all, meaning like all of us men and women in the fitness space, you know, get more comfortable with our own food choices and stop feeling like we have to explain ourselves to other people, like, hey, accept what I'm eating and this is what I'm eating and I'm not trying to follow your rules or whatever. You know, if we can, more of us, just get comfortable with the choices that we're making and stop telling ourselves we have to explain. Because did you ever run into that when you first started, that like I've felt that way around my man friend? I know this is silly, but like we go somewhere and you know, I brought a certain amount of, I don't know, these flax brownies home, and he walked in the room and I'm like, well, but I was really good yesterday, so this is why I'm having them. And I know he was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I didn't ask why you're eating a flax brownie. But did you feel that in the beginning? And that's kind of a weird part of letting go, feeling like you have to justify what you're eating to other people as if that should matter.
Oh yeah. I would always say, I eat really healthy today, so I can totally have this and it's fine. Or I would say, oh, I'm just not going to eat dinner later, so that's why I'm having this really big lunch. No one really cares that much. Like, yeah. No one is that obsessed with your own eating habits. But then, like, on the converse, like, someone would go to, like, order something at lunch, and they would say, oh, I really want to get that, but it looks really fattening. And then immediately, like, my guard would go off and be like, well, I definitely can't get something fattening now because they're going to judge me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even in situations like that, you know? So
there was somebody we interviewed, and I can't for the life of me remember specifically who it was, but great gal, and she's a dietitian, and we talked about emotional eating, and she was sharing that she was at a dietitian's conference, and a bunch of them went out to lunch, and she's like, I watched as the women went around the table, and as each woman ordered, the next woman would get more healthy. Like, this one would say, oh, I'm going to have the Cobb salad, and the next one would say, well, I'm going to have the Cobb salad, no dressing. The next one would be, I'm going to have the Cobb salad, no dressing, add kale, and no avocado. And then she said it got to me, and I'm like, I'll have a cheeseburger. And I'm paraphrasing, but you know, the more that many of us can be comfortable sharing what our weight is and not apologizing for it and accepting our own bodies, respecting our own bodies, and, you know, embracing this way of life. Like, let's relax about food. It really can make a huge difference. And that's why I'm excited to have this conversation more. It certainly is helping me. I'm definitely somebody who still have to deal with some of these. I mean, I still have issues where I'm like, oh my God, I had too much this weekend. I'm bad. And I have to, you know, be extreme. And I have to kind of talk myself down internally off that ledge. Like, you're being stupid. This is ridiculous. Like, you've got this, you're good. But that's the happy place to be, where you can be reasonable with yourself. And I just, this was so awesome, Marissa, because you've just come to a place where I love that you share your story, that this wasn't an overnight, it wasn't a fix, but you just seem very comfortable. Like, you've really, okay, I'm totally self-plugging Fitfluential, but you've really found your fit. Like, you found your groove. What works for you? Do you feel like you have?
Definitely. And awesome. I think that it's probably a process for everyone, but I'm really, really grateful that I was able to figure it out and I am able to talk about it. So thank you for having me on here, because I think the more people that are able to hear something like this and they are struggling with it, it gives them just that little bit of a push to kind of put themselves in check too.
Yeah. Totally awesome. Marissa, tell people where, I mean, obviously they can find you on Fitfluential, but where can they find you on Instagram, et cetera?
So like I said, I do it for the gram, and that is at Trainer Marissa.
That's the fun place. I still remember several years ago, and I know you will too, because you've been with Fit Fluential forever. Remember there was a day when, you know, because when we first started the company, we were all about just blogs and blogger campaigns, and Instagram was still relatively new. Remember when we used to have to tell bloggers, you guys need to get on Instagram? And they're like, what's Instagram? And now I think about what it's transitioned into. It's amazing how fast the space has changed. But anyway, I'm so glad we did this, Marissa. I just know so many individuals are going to benefit from this. And you know, props to you that you figured this out at such a young age, because you're a fantastic example. For those of you, we will also link up to Marissa. Make sure you get that to us. We'll link up to your gym so that people that are in the Tampa area, whether they live there or are there for vacation, they should be coming in and training with you guys. So we'll link that up in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. For everybody listening, I hope this show was helpful for you. I believe it will be. And certainly if you have any questions on anything, emotional eating, binge eating, you know, disordered eating, if you will, we're going to be covering a lot of this. Feel free to send in your questions to podcast@fitfluential.com. And again, we'll keep your name confidential and your contact information unless you explicitly give us permission to share that on the show. But we would love to make sure that we're answering the burning questions that you guys have about this topic or any other. So thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time on Fit Fluential Radio.
Thanks everybody for listening to this interview with Marissa DiPietro. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly hope to have her back on the show. If you enjoyed this episode and you've been enjoying other episodes on The Kelly O Show, we would certainly appreciate it. Hopefully you're already subscribed on iTunes, but we would really appreciate it if you would take just a couple minutes out of your day and leave us a review on iTunes. I'm sure if you listen to other podcasts, you know the drill. If we get more reviews, reviews help the show get seen and heard by more people across more platforms. And it's the goal that I have for this show, that we can grow this show and get this information out to more women who can benefit from hearing this information. So I would sincerely appreciate it if you could take the time to do that. We would love you even more than we already do. So if you have any questions on this episode, or if you'd like to inquire about perhaps advertising opportunities or nominating somebody that we interview for the show, you can email my assistant, Angie@KellyAlexa.com, or you can also use the contact me form on my website, KellyAlexa.com. Thanks everybody so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on The Kelly O Show.